Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back, relax, and get ready. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Nadine Tees. And just a few words about her now. She's the CEO of the Digital Innovation Hub Düsseldorf Rhineland, connecting startups, corporates, and innovators to accelerate entrepreneurship and future technologies. But first, let's kick things off with a song selected by her.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail, I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh. I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
Hey, you made me up, believer.
What's about to happen is Weezy the dragon. I link with the dragons and we gon' get ratchet. No need for imagining, this is what's happening. Second thing second, I reckon immaculate. Sign about accurate, I know the strength that don't come without strategy. I know the sweet that don't come without cavities. I know the passages come with some traffic. I start from the basement, end up in the attic. And third thing third, whoever coming out, they simply can't count. Let's get mathematic, I'm up in this hole. Is you a believer? I get a unicorn out of a zebra. I wear my uniform like a tuxedo. This dragon, the hold his breath, don't need a breather. Like human cedar, the son of a leader. I know the blooming don't come without rain. I know the losing don't come without shame. I know the beauty don't come without holla, holla, holla. Last thing last, I know that torture don't come without wane. I know that losing don't come without gain. I know that beauty don't come without, don't come without. Flames, you're the face of the future, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, but they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up when it rained down, like,
hey, you bring me up, believer.
So welcome here in the show, Nadine.
Thank you for inviting me, Annabelle. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, so how do you build an innovation ecosystem that actually creates companies of tomorrow? Our next guest is doing exactly that. CEO of the Digital Innovation Hub Düsseldorf. Rylan and D&T brings together startups, investors, corporates, and visionaries, helping ideas become successful businesses. Please welcome Nadine. Nadine, we know each other from just seeing each other also while working on place. And I mean, you're a person, normally, I mean, we say from people from Rhineland that they are always smile a little bit more than people from other areas in Germany. We always say from people from Rhineland that they are of more positive thinking about yeah, this will go, this will work, then, oh, let's see what couldn't work on that. I think you are somebody who's a kind of ambassador of this attitude. So I would like to start with three questions we ask everybody first and get you here in our show. So we empower, what does sustainable empowerment mean to you personally? And how do you live sustainability to others or environment through work, but also through your private life?
I think it's much related to the song that I choose also to be a believer, because very often in life, you know, you come to the situations where something doesn't work out and it's not the way you planned it to be. But I mean, it's always the thing, how do you deal with that? I mean, there's always a chance to say, okay, I failed or I couldn't do it. But there's always the other way to look at it is to say, okay, what can I do now? How can I change this? And what is my plan B? And maybe what is my plan C as well? And this is really something, even though I wasn't born in the Rhineland, to be honest, but this is something I adapted very quickly, because I think this positive mindset, that is something that we really, really need right now to change things with all these crises going on in the world. And I really believe that we need to have that positive mindset, because we can always think about what can go wrong, but we can also think about it like, what if? So what if it that works? So what can we achieve then?
Absolutely. Just a small sample, I often feel really, really good when I'm in the United States, not because I think that all the people are doing the right things, not because I'm in a friendship with everybody, and not because everything is working well, but this positive attitude, what you're describing, that I, for example, enter a store and the person at the counter is saying, hey, oh, wow, you have a great skirt, I love that. Or your haircut fits you very well. That gives me a positive attitude. And no matter what, I don't see her anymore in my life or whatever happens. But this friendliness without asking for anything, this is something I completely agree with you. We need this positive mindset more than ever, because driving us through the challenges, through the crises we are facing right now and which are upcoming during the next years, and we know it already that there will be some, the depression rate is has already been increasing really dramatically, and not just in Germany, but in Germany very much, as of course the people which are feeding their system while getting self-fulfilling prophecies in a negative way. This feels first like, oh yes, I got a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, I made it, I'm right. But then the second, the self-fulfilling prophecy puts you down, because negative is negative, and it's not that giving a confirmation to negative means positive. This is something people often are not aware of, right? So what are the three health habits or kind of life hacks that help you stay energized, balanced, and truly well, physically or mentally?
For me, I would say it's I have those kind of different buckets for my life. And on the one hand, I have my work life, but I also have my private life. I'm the mom of three kids. So I mean, to be honest, sometimes if I have a bad day at work or so, they put my things into perspective again, because they don't care about some of these things, these worries that we might have in our head. And it that sometimes helps me a lot. And the third one is I really take some time for myself. I do running and swimming a lot. And for me, that is also to make sure that I have some time for myself, really self-caring time that is meant for me, not for my job, not for my success in my job, not for my kids, but also there needs to be some time in the week where it's just about me.
Would you say that the communication from kids is has more truth in it?
Totally. I would totally say it. And I love their way of looking at things because we, as described before, we see all these crises and they fall, they cry. Okay. They put out all their feelings about it. It hurts and they cry it out, but then they get up again and then they do the exact same thing again. And, you know, they keep on trying and they forget about their, oh, I failed. I fall. I had this issue with that. But they try it and try it, and all of a sudden it works. And then they completely forget about the failures. And that is something that I totally admire at kids. I mean, if you consider how long it takes for us to start walking and how many times we fall before we really get up and walk, I think it's a very impressive thing. And I also have to say, because my kids are now a little bit older, they're like in the teenage years now, and it always they do see all these crises, but at the other hand, they still focus on totally different things in a while. So they put away all these hassles that are going on in the world and still have the time of their life. And I think sometimes, and that is something when you look at countries that are in war, I admire it very much because they still have a normal life, and we have here, we concentrate so often on the issues that we have. And if I look in the news in the evening, for example, we concentrate so much on this has gone wrong and this is not so perfect. And on the contrary, I'm super lucky with my job because there I'm surrounded by people that say, okay, I have that issue, let's make a business out of it. It's a completely different mindset. They say, okay, we don't have enough fuel or we don't have energy in this regard. Okay, let me change that and let me earn money with it. So I think that's a completely different mindset, and I admire that totally. And I think kids are very similar in that regard.
Absolutely. Would you say, I saw a post from Verena Poster a few days ago saying, we have in Germany now an increase of startups. On the other hand, I see a lot of people running in a bad mood through the streets, don't look like startups. And I see a huge increase in young people wanting to work in a kind of safe jobs, and not because they love the safe job, but just they love the safety and want to have something they can really rely on, being insecure, being frightened about what the future can bring.
I think it's a big issue because, and I think it is also related with the social media and the news that we are consuming. And if you all the time consume that has gone wrong, or there is this issue here, and those people are getting too old, those people might lose their job, and we concentrate so much on the bad things. Of course, it reflects on the young people. I'm very sure that this is also part of the issue. And of course they say, okay, if this might, I might lose my job because of this issue, and this might influence my job, and this, okay, what do I do? Okay, there's so many options. It might be just too many options for them and too many things. And then I think at some point many of them take the step back and say, okay, maybe I should just work for the city, and because it's a very safe job, and or I just take the safest job that I can have. But I think in the end, we need those changes in jobs. We need this. And of course, with all the AI now, we will see massive changes in jobs. But I would say we need to stop to focus on all these bad things. But let's focus on the good things, because I think there's many low-paid jobs that might not be necessary anymore, but there might be the potential for many high-paid jobs coming out of this. And also, I'm very even though AI, and I think it's a this it scares a lot of people because it's so unpersonal, but I think in the end it's really it has a lot of opportunity too, and there might be many things in improving, and I'm 100% sure we will still need human interactions, and people will aim for that and they will want to have that back. So I'm 100% sure that those jobs will be absolutely necessary even in the future.
Completely agree. I even think that it's getting more and more important. So for me, jobs in the area of social workers, this is getting more and more important. I mean, we already see it in schools. These schools are not working if they don't have social workers or too little. And it's the social workers which make sure that the classes are running, that the kids are feeling good, that they can concentrate. And even in primary schools, it starts with the situation. We see that there's a huge request from the people to get this human, as you said. And I mean, we are not like a computer made for just getting another ship, which pimps us up. And we have to face also our limitations in a good way. In a good way, as we say, for example, me as a communication expert, I say, okay, take your breaks. The breaks are the most important. It's not that what you say, it's the breaks you are taking, which gives the people the ability to think about it and fill the gap with their own ideas, with reflection, with creativity, and also give that what you said a strength and a meaning. Yeah, I think we are in a really challenging times currently, and I think it's great on the one hand. On the other hand, it requests a lot from us. We really have to make sure that we take care of that what we have and make sure that we are getting not overwhelmed. Can you share a life experience that shaped who you are today, a moment you will never forget, and why it changed you?
There were many. I think it's, but I think, to be honest, to put maybe two points, maybe two of them. There was one, together with my husband, I moved very spontaneously to the US because I was a little unhappy in my job, and I kind of went forth and back where to go next and what to do next in my life. And so I wasn't sure. And all of a sudden, and that is something that I would totally recommend to everyone, take your chances when they come up. It's really because all of a sudden there was this opportunity for him to go to New York, and it brought a lot of uncertainty to me because I didn't have a job there, but I still said, okay, I always wanted to go abroad again. Why not? Let's do it. So we more or less decided over the weekend to move to New York, and I had to find a job there again. But it all worked out in the end. Yes, was it a struggle in between? Yes. And did I find a job straight away? No. But I kept on searching. And in the end, I was super happy. I had much more fun than in my job before. And it was really something I was looking forward to for many years, to go abroad again. And so I could fulfill my dream. And that is something that is also related to the second point, also taking on this job now, because I worked with many female founders before and always said them, be brave. When the chance comes up, be brave, just try it. What can happen? There's not so much that can happen, to be honest. We live in a very safe environment. We don't have to sleep under the bridge. We'll always have some food. If we, I mean, we're not living in a very, very country where we have to fight for food. So I wish, and that is something that I gained with both of these, take the chances that there are, be brave, and just try, because it gives you so much back when you try.
Absolutely. So I have plenty of questions I would like to ask you, and going a bit deeper also in the chances you are supporting for young entrepreneurs. So we have a small break now for approximately 2 minutes. So stay tuned, and after commercial break, we'll continue our conversation.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we just talked about Impact Hub, talked about how important it is to have an also kind of entrepreneur's mind, I would say, even if you are no entrepreneur. What would you say, what separates Europe's best startups ecosystem from everyone else?
I would say there's two things. I mean, many of them, they really see, they're very good in identifying the demand of the market. And this is something that separates them. Because in the end, even all the fundings, all the hurdles you have to take up front, in the end, if you have a paying customer for your product, I mean, this is really where you can make a lot of impact. And this is especially when I look at the most successful ones that are in our programs, very often, of course, in the beginning, they have to do a lot of development and it's very hard for them to secure funding. But in the end and in the long term, it also comes down to, do I find a paying customer for it? Is there a market demand for it? Is there a need for my product? So, and that is also something that we as a DigiHub work on a lot in our programs, for example, with Scale Up NRW. What we do is we do a lot of matchmakings. We bring together, on the one hand, the financing, so the VCs, the business angels, the startups, the scale ups, but also we bring a lot of companies from the small to mid-sized companies up to the big DAX companies, so the listed companies, so the bigger companies, because it's this mixture but within this room to bring together the right people at the right time and make them talk together. That is often what makes them more successful. And that is also what we see in the successful startups. They are very good in scanning a room, identifying who do I need to talk to and who's the right person for me to get it further developed. And that is something, again, when we see all these fears and AI, and that is where I say, okay, we still need people to come together in a physical room to meet, to chat, and to make those connections. It's much needed. And it totally works. I mean, this is what it comes to in the end.
And what would you say are which technologies are most underestimated today?
In the green tech field, we have many, for examples, and that are very successful right now, because what people don't see very often with AI, for example, there's a lot of AI developed, but it also is very energy consumption. So we need those good ideas to also help in these areas. So I think also when you look at the Green Tech report, for example, we see many emerging energy startups, and I would say we have two or three good examples. Voltfang, one of our startups, they're in the field of batteries and to really help on this energy issue, but also co-reactive green light, the decarbonization of CO2. And those are the startups that really help to make a better environment for ourselves. And I think that is really something that helps us a lot going forward. And yes, those kind of things, I would say, are totally underestimated, because there's a lot of potential there.
And if we look, for example, in the areas of social innovation, but also health innovation, do you see there also some upcoming developments? I often have the feeling that this is also underestimated, as of course we have the trend of longevity or cosmetics or fitness, but social innovation is much more than that.
Totally. And there are many good startups in that field as well that are impact driven, really from mental health apps, which because we addressed those fears up earlier, and I think they are much needed, because every person that is looking for or is waiting, for example, for an appointment at a doctor with mental issues. And there's also, for example, Ilona Health, which is working in that field, and they help a lot to overcome the timings, and there's so many innovations in health startups, really from cancer screening to dermatologists, diagnostics and screening for cancer, and there's a huge variety. And I think that is also something, because again, we have that fear there's not enough doctors around, but there's also a lot of innovation in that field. So it helps to maybe make better diagnosis and to earlier see that there's a risk for something. So there's a huge opportunity for better treatment, or maybe even cheaper treatment, because we just recognize those issues earlier on.
Is it that good startups in this field of social, where, of course, what we said, a lot of also human contact is necessary, that the tendency is more and more to digitalize human contact, human interaction, or can innovation, or do you see innovation also in other fields for in the area of social and in the area of in the area of social, but also social sustainability, but also dealing doing things human to human.
I would say there's both tendencies. From a startup perspective, I would say there's a lot of things going on that digitalize and to in this area. But on the other hand, I see that there's a lot of networks and those things going on to balance it a little bit. So I would say there's both tendencies, because as I said, because I think people at some point they realize they are missing this human interaction. And if you sometimes you see that older people or so, they get very lonely, for example, and then some of them might even go to the hospital or doctors just to have some social contact, which is really sad. And so I think there's also a lot of things going on that again put together people much more. And there's a lot of networks, a lot of events going on, because I'm totally 100% sure that we'll need this human interaction in the future. And people will aim for that. They want to have that interaction. And so we also see some startups in that field. For example, where there's like playing groups for mothers and family oriented things going on. But I would say the main focus and the more of the startups are in a beat, the really successful, the really growing ones that we always look at. They are more in a B2B sector. Because those are more likely to be the venture clienting cases, because they are very, it's easier to scale them. It's easier to earn fast money with them. So of course, a lot of money goes into these things, but nevertheless, I would say both are totally necessary, and one won't work out in the long run without the others.
I mean, often it's said that female startups are special startups. Is this like this? Are female startups founded by women or with the majority of women are special, are different? And if yes, how different are they?
It's very funny. I get this question quite often. And I think women are different in the regard that they're maybe less risk averse, or it's, of course, it's a generalization. But when you do look at the big funding rounds and the VC cases, women are totally underrepresented. It's a really small number. But on the other hand, if you look at the numbers, how successful are startups and scale-ups, either they are totally like run by women, or if it's a mixed team, and if you compare those numbers, there tend to be there's a tendency that they're more successful. So you would ask, like, so why, how does this come together? And wouldn't the investor now think, okay, my money is more safe with the other one? I think sometimes we are not brave enough. We're not brave enough to ask for those big numbers. But when it comes to those crises in the last years, for example, there was this crisis here and there. And if your plan was always less risk averse and you were more, you took all these risks more into consideration, you're also much more likely to survive such a crisis, to be honest. But I think we need to be braver. We need to be more outgoing, and we need to, if I look at the numbers, like which kind of startups get a lot of big funding, like the quantum technologies, it's often very production intensive. And yes, we do see not that many women in those areas still. So I think it's something that we need to start up very, very early to have more women in math, in informatics, in all these topics from school on, to make it much more accessible. And it will take a long time to fill this gap, but they are there. And I think we need to point out those successful stories much more, because it's really, I mean, we need to look at those heroes and see what they achieved, to maybe also put that into our perspective. This could be me. I could have that success too. Why not? Why couldn't I do it? I mean, she did it. Why shouldn't I do it? I mean, that is something I can, that is also why we have many female programs, or we always try to have a balance in our on our panels, for example, because I think both sides are very much needed, and both sides are good examples on how to deal with things.
Absolutely. Would you say that how you say that role models could change the picture?
Totally. I would say yes.
But where are the role models? I mean, we have so many female startups that could be our role models.
Yes, and we try to do that. I mean, we do whenever we have the chance. I mean, what I'm not a big fan of is to put a woman on stage just because she's a woman, to be honest. I want the right woman that has a say in that. When it's a green tech panel, I want that right green tech startup that is led by a woman on the panel and not whatever kind of woman, because then I think we harm ourselves. But I'm 100% with you. Whenever I can and I have a chance, and that is why it's so important, for example, when we met also, that we take these chances and to mark those women that are extraordinary in their work and where we say, wow, she's a role model. And whenever I have that chance to take that moment and to really get things going with that. And I think something that we need to put into perspective much more with that is because there's many female networks. And one thing I still notice that we do different than men is like, and that is something that I can recommend every woman too, is when you go to these networking events, go there with one specific goal and not just go there because you want to meet nice people, go there with a business goal and for a contract and do business. I mean, that is what the men do all the time. They give each other business. So, I mean, this is what we need to do. I mean, we need to get better in using our networks to also do business.
Great tip, I'd say. Go to a conference with a goal. Mm-hmm. Is there maybe two, three other tips you see from that, what you are experiencing, what could help women, but also men, when they enter into something which they build up on their own? So what should they do? What is maybe you're saying typical men, but or typical male maybe, but maybe also typical for those who are succeeding?
I would say those for succeeding, be visible from minute one. Don't hesitate to ask people on their opinions and get feedback and to really get moving, because there's so great networks and there are many startups that have been through the whole thing that you are going through before. So be visible and ask those questions to those people that have been there. They have done that. They have been successfully. So why did they get the funding? So maybe ask them, can I have a look at the pitch deck? Can you do the intro for me? Because what we see is those warm intros, what we call them, are much more successful than I just call a VC and I expect them to listen to me. It's not going to work like that. So being visible on panels, on social media, on all these different kind of platforms helps you a lot to meet those people that you need. And it's even better if they heard before of you, then they're much more interested. And being visible, and I would say, don't try to do everything by yourself. Hire people that know what they're doing. And that is something that many people, or we see with many, especially the scaling cases, we see the founders of the company, they still want to do everything by themselves. It's kind of their baby. And at some point they have like 15, 20, 30 employees. And all of a sudden they say like, okay, can't control everything anymore. So it's a big hustle. But to really hire early the right people that help you, and try to hire people that are better than you in certain areas, because they can get your business on the right next level. So that is something I can also totally recommend.
Thank you so much. So we have now a small commercial break of 2 minutes, and I have some, I think, very great questions to ask you afterwards. So stay tuned, and we see each other back in 2 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nadine, you are so much in this stories of triumph and fail, and of hope and of investment often, which goes over the power of a whole life of others, being just a whole life, just employees. This is sometimes risk-taking. This is sometimes also hope in something which will never come true. But sometimes we have also the great stories which arise. Is there a story from your last startups which are in your mind because it touched you the most? Because of maybe the personality of a founder, maybe of the story behind maybe of the product they develop, or maybe of the process the team had to manage.
Yeah, totally. I would say what comes to my mind is there's one, Daniela Mündler. She's doing Simplistic, and I think as she's a woman and she really does a great job, that is the one every part that I would totally, because we talked about it, we should put out those role models there. And she is totally one of those persons I can totally highlight as a role model. But then what also totally impressed me is a story, a little bit of Greenlight and Co-Reactive, two different startups, because you could totally see, and that is something that is, for me, it's very unique in the startup or in the scale-up bubble, is the tendency to help each other so much. And Greenlight, for example, they have a direct capture technology. So they take out CO2 from the air. And in the end, they have a sustainable fuel for aircrafts. So a very complicated product. And they're very successful. They have already, they're working together with the Düsseldorf Airport, for example. So it's very successful. And then there's Co-Reactive. They are doing a slightly different product, but they're also in the decarbonization field. And what they do is they also take CO2 out of the air, but they are creating a carbon negative cement. So in the building industry. But what you can totally see is they work together and they help each other doing intros, putting them on the stage on their own opening of the production facility, for example. And that is something that is, for me, totally unique, that you, in a moment that you have your own success, that there's a huge willingness to help each other. And we see that a lot. We have the Scale Up NRW community, and we have like a group where they chat, and they totally, one has a question and all the others, they help within minutes. They have like the super good advice. They know which person they should talk to. And that is something that inspires me a lot, I have to say, that we get away from all these competitiveness and that we see, okay, there's a huge potential to also work together and to help each other to overcome these obstacles. And that is something that totally impresses me, because when you look at big companies, yeah, they're all much more often there in their field, and then there's their competitor, and the likeliness that they're working together is not so huge. So that is something that totally impresses me.
Sounds really good. I mean, we are talking in the AI area about bias. We are talking about this, that a few people who are coding special programs are creating biases, not because they hate other people, not because they don't want diversity, but because they just have their own perspective. And we also know that digitization and all this, what happens in the world, you talked also, you said the word crisis, Pisces, that this is narrowing our perspective. And it's not like, hey, welcome the world. I like to see many perspectives and facets of everything. It's more like, okay, please keep it easy because I don't have so much energy. So is this something which is, would you say it's struggling or is dangerous for startups? Is it something where you have the feeling that startups are facing this, saying, okay, hey, stop here. We have to do it differently?
I would say startups, but I would say we do struggle with these things also totally as a society as well. Because you're totally right when you say there's the group of people programming, but it's the same with the group of people using AI right now, because it's much more, especially in the beginning, and also the data that was put into those things. And if there's not enough women using and, for example, and influencing those things, AI will have the tendency to reflect those other things as well, because this is what we teach it. I mean, we teach AI to have certain behavior. It's a very human behavior, but right now the people, and that is also a lot of startups work with AI. And I can give you a very good example. Some time ago, I was at a company visit, and they were demonstrating a drone. And the drone, it was kind of reacting on the movement. So if you move your hand towards the drone moved away, so you don't touch it and you don't get hurt. And funnily enough, then the boss of the company, who was a woman, tried the exact same thing, and it didn't react to her hand. So that is something that we have to be very aware of. So what do we teach AI and the way we use it also in scale-ups and companies, etc., that we still reflect those things with our core values, and to not totally rely always. And this is where I'm 100% sure that we still need humans to check on control if we are still aligned, because at a certain point of time, and we see those developments now very fast, AI it's learning from what it's learned already. So, and if we don't have a look at it, all of us in between, is this the right direction we are going? Then I think we are running into huge risks also as a society in general.
What do you think, how can we bring more diversity into AI? A really concrete, in a really way which is realistic.
I would say we need to have enough women when it comes to legislation also that put their perspective into that role, and to have a say in the things that we decide. I would totally say it's from each and every person that uses it, the way we use it. I totally encourage everyone to use it and to train it the way we want to train this AI, and to take care of the things that we put in there, and to be aware of what kind of behavior do I reflect. Because we are the ones still training the whole system. So I would say we need to be very aware what we put in and what we get out, and to really also give the feedback when there's something that we see which is not correct, to feed that back, to give that feedback, to say, hey, thank you for your outcome, but this is it's a little bit like talking to your children. I mean, when they misbehave, I give them that feedback, but we also need to give that misbehaving feedback also to AI. It sounds weird, but that is something we need to do.
Really important point. Would you say that we are too reactive, that we are too much couch potatoes, just sitting there, seeing the reality as a kind of screen in front of us, thinking still that we could be maybe the three monkeys just waiting until the AI trend is over and the world is back to normal?
I think it is a new normal. That is the one thing. And the second thing is, yes, I think we need to be much more active in many things in the way if we want, because it's a very German thing, for example, to always say that it's negative, that is negative. But I think that doesn't help. I mean, that is something that I always say, okay, you're not happy with something, then change it. I mean, really, if you're unhappy with how the world is right now and there's no job, then change it. Build your company or try to go to change those laws or be active. But it's not going to help if you sit on the couch and complain about it. Nothing's going to change. You need to become more active. Either it's if it's you're becoming active in politics, you're becoming a founder, or become very good in your job and fix a problem that you see. Maybe that is something where we came from. And I wish that a little bit, I want to have that mindset more, because we were always the founders, the ones that invented things, that found new ways of doing business, of establishing new things. And I think that is something that we need to go 100% back to. I mean, really, okay, there's an issue. Okay, what can we do about it? How can we change it? And not just sit there and complain. What is going to change? I mean, okay, maybe I feel relieved after I complained, but I didn't change a thing.
If the Nadine tease goes back to United States and has us view as a foreigner onto Germany, would you say Germany has changed to the better during the last years, or what would you say as a, yeah, if you put yourself into these shoes with this outer perspective?
I think we're a little bit more in the complaining modus. And so I think we need to be more in the active, let's change things again modus. So I would see this difference. And are also coming back from what we said just in the beginning, those I rather take the job that is the least risk or so. I want that to change again. I want the children to have they need to have the dream of becoming an astronaut, to become an engineer, to have this big dream that they fulfill. I want to go this, I wish back a little bit more. And other than that, I think we complain a lot about Europe in total. And to be honest, I've lived in several countries, and I've traveled a lot in many countries as well. And I think we live in the end, we are very lucky in the way where we live. And we live in a very great society. Yes, there are things that are not correct and they're not good. But in the end, if you look at many, many other countries, they have so much less than we do, and they don't complain. Like, if I see sometimes, especially when you look at India right now, for example, people are so motivated. They want to change things. They want to have a better life, and they're working so hard for it. And we are still in the mode like, oh, it's not perfect. And I'm like, no, but look at, we are healthier. We have health insurance. We have this and that. We have so much more than the most countries in the world, but still we complain. And it drives me crazy sometimes, because I think that's ridiculous. I mean, yes, of course we should have that goal and the aim to further become even better and faster and smarter and even more healthier. But in the end, we are very lucky to be here.
Absolutely. I would agree, and I can't agree more. I want to share a very small situation with you. I have been supporting at the industry and training chamber of commerce in Berlin schools or school students. We are a group of entrepreneurs going into schools and talking to school students and telling them how great it is to have a startup, how great it is to be an entrepreneur. And my last last question standing there is always, who is interested to being an entrepreneur? And unfortunately, in most of these situations, I'm standing in front of the school students, 11th class, 12th class. It's one hand, two hands, that's it. And often it's a kind of, if you ask, it's half of them which are raising their hand, is it's an architect, dentist, doctor, medical doctor, where they want to take over from their parents, or it's a kind of company they take over from their parents and have the feeling, I have to. And half of it saying, oh, I would like to be an influencer because this is cool. It's easy. I can make a lot of money. And I just need to look like I am and do cool things. And I earn a lot of money with it. This comes in always. So talking about future skills, and often it is what we learned, right? What we learned from our parents, what we learned from our school teachers. And of course, school teachers are often no entrepreneurs. Often they're in a situation from their salaries and everything that they are so safe. I mean, they even know how much money they will earn after retirement, right? And that nothing can happen to them. So what will they teach the kids, and what future skills do we need? What future skills does this generation, but also next generation, need to be really able to have this entrepreneur's thinking, whatever they do? But what future skills are important? What would you say?
Maybe braveness, and also to have a better look on the opportunity side, because I think there's a lot of things, and maybe we need to reflect them reality more, because social media most likely will not be the highest paying job, and most likely you will fail. I would even say the percentage to have a successful startup will be higher, because everyone just wants to be a social media star, but in the end there's only few that can make a living out of it. So I would say a little bit of a reality check, and to have more to get it more into schools, to the startups, to present them in school, those cool success stories. We need to bring them in there.
Absolutely, Nadine. This is also a point where we should definitely discuss, because I mean, you are at this edge. I have some experience in trying to build a program right now, so we should definitely talk. And yeah, unfortunately, that wraps us our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of women and men around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you, and it's a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together we rise. Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail. I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh.